So much of what I think makes our show unique and fun is those moments of me interacting with, you know, the people in the restaurant. Nothing here to see, just a kid like me, trying to cut some tea, trying to figure it out. Hey, this is comedian Josh Denny from Ginormous Food on the Food Network, and you're listening to Dane on WGN. Getting hard to sleep, blood
is in my dreams, love is killing me, trying to figure it out. 720 WGN, Dane Neal here in the Allstate Showcase on Michigan Avenue. On the line with us now, we've got actor, comedian, podcaster, and star of the new, soon-to-be incredible Food Network hit, Ginormous Food, the one and only Josh Denny. Josh, welcome to WGN.
Thanks for having me.
You know, I know that you love food, and, you know, I've checked out some of the stand-up, and I know that you incorporate food into a lot of your stand-up. Is it the kind of thing that you ever thought you would have a show on Food Network? Did you ever aspire to this? Because you've been pretty successful in other modes of media.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those weird things, like when the old Man vs. Food show came on, I would always talk with friends and other comedians about, you know, man, it would be awesome to have a show like that. But it was one of those things that was kind of like never really on my radar as an opportunity, because I didn't even really understand, like, how you go about ending up on a show like that or getting a show like that. So when the opportunity came up a little bit over a year ago to start the process of developing a show with the production company, it was very surreal. It's still very surreal. It's surreal to turn on Food Network and to see yourself, you know, doing a show like I spent my entire life watching growing up.
Now, do you find yourself, you know, there's a lot of promos and the show's in heavy rotation at this point, and Friday's 8 p.m. Eastern as far as all of the premier episodes. Do you find yourself kind of flicking the television on in front of either family or friends or ex-girlfriends where you're just like, hey, oh, geez, was that on?
No, I don't really have anything like that going on, but it is funny. You do get the random Facebook message from somebody from high school or somebody you haven't seen in many years, like, oh, we were just out to lunch and we just saw your commercial on Food Network. So, and it's kind of fun. You get that touch base from somebody you haven't heard from for a while. I guess you know the marketing's working, right?
Yeah. Well, hey, and it is very cool. So congratulations. Kudos to you on all the, I guess, activities and efforts that put you in the position to do this. And congratulations on the success that the show is and that I'm sure it will lead to. I was just, you know, kind of wondering, you know, as a traveling for stand-up comedy, you know, you are in different cities all the time, and you've got to eat over the years. We're talking with either rock stars or bands as they travel in kind of a similar situation. Well, less music, I guess. But did you have like cities that you know, when they first got and talked to you and you said, of course, Philadelphia is your hometown, but where you were thinking, oh, we got to check this place out, or here, there's this place and this place, that you kind of weighed in with your opinions on great places to stop?
Yeah, they had to shut me down because I could talk all day about all the great places. And before I was a comedian, I was a musician as well. So,
oh, nice.
I spent my whole life kind of traveling in the country, doing different things. And even when I worked in corporate America, I traveled quite a bit. So, yeah, there's probably a place in every city. For instance, in Chicago, I mean, the first place I go when I get off a plane there is Portillo's. And fortunately, we have a couple out here in California. So I will make the drive from L.A. all the way to Buena Park by Disney just to get, you know, a Chicago beef.
Nice. Okay, so you get the Italian beef, and have you got all the techniques down, you know, with the, you got it dipped, and then you maybe have the elbows out to, you know, to avoid any drippage?
Yeah, yeah, and you got to get a high table. You got to sit at a high table so you don't end up wearing half the thing, so there's a definite technique to it.
You mentioned there's more places in your mind in the thought process to add in maybe for season 2, 3, and 4 than you could fit in this first one. But, you know, it probably was a real problem when, and of course, coming up this weekend is the episode in Philadelphia, which is your hometown, where you've got probably so many places.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what's great about Ginormous Food is that it kind of narrows the focus to places that do these large dishes, whether they be for eating competitions or challenges, or if they're just things that they normally do for catering or large parties. So that helps kind of pare it down a little bit. But yeah, even in a city like Philadelphia, it's very, very tough to, you know, start to eliminate your favorite places. But when you get into the logistics of filming, you know, that is a thing all in itself that kind of helps narrow the selection process down, what places, you know, make sense to film in. You know, some of my favorite places are like walk-ups, where if we filmed, it would be me and the guy standing at the counter, and then that's it. There's nothing else to the restaurant or to the place. And then, you know, we have a great scouting department that kind of goes out and finds places that, you know, not only do the things that we want to cover in the show, but they do a great job of coming up with a really good variety so that you're not just looking at 12 burgers on a bun every episode.
Right. And, you know, there are a lot of different shows that have come out over the years on Food Network. Some have had tremendous success and really resonated with viewers. Some maybe not so much, but always, you know, I think the ideas are in the right place, trying to give people more cool things to watch and things that they love. But I think it comes down to the personality. And so as far as you getting in there, I think that's great. If you're going to be able to interact with either the other diners there or the owner of the restaurant, how often do you have to kind of rely on your comedic background and just ability? Because that's what you do, right? Is you're dealing with basically strangers on a regular basis on stage, to build that into kind of the essence of the program.
Well, that's really the core of the program. You know, and obviously being a Food Network show, we do a little bit of process, right? We show a little bit of stuff in the kitchen, but our show versus a Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, there's a huge difference in the amount of time I spend on the floor with, you know, the customers and interacting with them. And so much of what I think makes our show unique and fun is those moments of me interacting with, you know, the people in the restaurants. And in this Friday's episode in Philadelphia coming up, there's some really funny banter that we capture with me in the restaurants and the customers in the restaurants as it pertains to the food. So that's really what we're trying to do with this show. You know, give the viewer the same kind of Food Network things they love, all the nice food beauties, as we call them, but mixed with a little bit more fun and playing around. I mean, there's nothing more fun for me than being able to make fun of the things that people do when they eat, because we all know we have that friend who makes a weird clicking noise in his jaw or bites things that are goofy. And, you know, so there's a lot of fun that you can have with people. And it's a very intimate moment, you know, like people are self-conscious about eating in front of other people sometimes for a reason, and I like to poke fun at that and exploit that and make them feel silly.
The visuals are incredible. Get to see a lot of those on there, because, you know, were you ever surprised? Granted, you've been around, you've done the show, you've been working on it for a year now, and visited a bunch of those places, I'm sure, just as a general member of society and an eater. But when you get there and you've got, like, you know, a burger that is a foot and a half tall, or like a pizza that's enormous, are you surprised and shocked, number one, what it looks like, and that other people have accomplished it?
Yeah, it's pretty mind-blowing. I mean, you know, the crazy thing for me is the biggest lesson I had to learn shooting this was eating for television and eating for your own pleasure are two very different things, because, you know, the timing of getting the shots and the way we kind of go through the day, if you don't pace yourself, you're going to be a pretty miserable dude come 10 o'clock in the morning. On our very first shoot, we were in a restaurant in Atlanta, and we were eating a po' boy sandwich, a 10-pound po' boy sandwich, and there's about 7 different deep-fried seafood components. So as we're going through and we're covering each one, I'm eating them, just shoving them in my face, and my producer, Libby, came over to me a couple takes in. She goes, "You might not want to actually eat all that food, because we've got a whole day of this ahead." And sure enough, by about 11 o'clock in the morning, I was like, huddled over a garbage can, like, I don't know if I'm gonna make it. Fortunately, I was able to keep it down, but, you know, yeah, that's the thing. You kind of have to pace yourself, and that's the key with doing these, if they are challenges. You know, people come in that tell you, or other competitive eaters, they'll say, you know, there's so much that goes into preparing for something like that. It's not just showing up and eating, and I've had to kind of adopt some of those best practices for filming the show as well.
Well, we hope that your health will maintain too. Maybe you're going to do a little bit of the eating, because you look at like a Joey Chestnut or something like that, or a Kobayashi. They're really thin people, so they must be doing other things when they're not, you know, binging on hot dogs.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing is that if you go on social media, people think I'm about to have a heart attack any day now. But the reality
right.
is I'm very involved in fitness and health, and, you know, when I'm not sick, I'm getting over a cold right now, but I spend about 5 days in the gym, and, you know, I did a keto diet, a keto cleanse, after we came back from filming season one and dropped about 20 pounds.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm very focused on that stuff, but mostly because I love food and I enjoy food. I don't think I'm ever going to be a guy who aims to get into, you know, UFC shape in the gym, but my goal is ultimately to stay healthy enough to continue pursuing my passion, which is being able to eat whatever I want, you know, anytime and any place.
Well, Josh, you never know. Being an actor, you got to be open to things. If you get that next, you know, Chris Pratt type role to be a, you know, one of the characters of the Guardians of the Galaxy series, you're going to have to drop down and get cut.
Yeah, well, you know, when they're offering me the 7- and 8-figure deals to do a Guardians of the Galaxy, you know,
right.
I'll live in the gym. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But in the meantime, I'm totally content taking down sandwiches for America's enjoyment.
I get it. Right, right. When they're offering up the Josh Denny action figure, then, of course, you got to make some tough choices.
I mean, I don't know if I'm an action figure guy so much as I'm a plush doll guy.
Yes.
You know, we'll figure it out.
Ginormous Food is the show Fridays, 8 p.m. Eastern time on the Food Network. The host is Josh Denny. He is an actor, a comedian, of course, star of this program. And I wanted to ask you, too, so much of the content, and I love the stand-up stuff, and I love some of the stuff that you've done where you're incorporating food into social situations, and, you know, as a kind of a person kind of in the food arena, like, I find it super funny, and I know that you look at the crowds and you're getting a great response from it. Do you see yourself maybe through some of these experiences and interactions through making the show that you'll build into future stand-up sets?
Yeah, I mean, there's already things, you know, my stand-up style is very organic. I don't try to set out to write material about certain things. It's all kind of what happens to me in my life and what I experience. And, you know, there's a lot of comedy that's already come out of this show and how the public has responded to it, and, you know, some very hilarious observations that are already making it into my act as I perform here around L.A. and stuff that I'll prepare, you know, as we get further into the year and I start to go back out on the road and do shows. But, you know, just some of the simple hypocrisies of people. That's really where my comedy likes to, you know, kind of centers around. It's just finding the funny ways that we love to contradict ourselves. So, you know, the best example to me is right now, you know, there's a lot of people going like, oh, I don't know if it's good to have a fat guy on television showing our kids that it's okay to be obese and eat this food. But meanwhile, on the other hand, they'll talk about how television creates unrealistic beauty expectations for women and men. And so, you know, it's ripe with hypocrisy, and there's always great comedy in that. So, you know, to me, there's a lot of fun to be had there. And I'm sure there'll be even more that comes up as the show continues on and more funny things like that emerge.
And I'm sure to kind of give a little bit of something for everybody, you'll find somewhere the largest, enormous kale salad that someone has to eat that's at some some vegan restaurant.
Yeah, I mean, every show needs to make an episode that nobody wants to watch, I guess. So, yeah, when we do that, we'll get to it. I mean, my big thing is that, you know, is the only thing we know about is today, right? The only thing that we can really bank on is today. And so I think people should just focus more on being happy today. If that means eating an entire 12-foot party sub to yourself, then do it. If it means spending 12 hours in the gym, then do it. But I don't think it's anybody's place to tell you how you should be spending your time and what it takes to make you happy. And I love to poke fun at the people that spend a lot of their time telling other people what to do.
Yes.
Happier to have fun.
Everything in moderation except fun, and I know that that fans, viewers, listeners are going to enjoy all the different incarnations of Josh Denny that they get to experience, whether it's Ginormous Food on the Food Network on Fridays, 8 p.m. Eastern, the stand-up comedy, and your podcast, too, March of the Pigs. That's are you still going to be able to continue doing that as you add more things to your, no pun intended, plate?
Yeah, my cup runneth over, but that's why I carry an extra. Yeah, it's March of the Pigs is great. I mean, it'll always be a thing that is important to me because it's very much a big part of how I ended up doing Ginormous Food. But at the moment, we're using March of the Pigs to do what's called Bite Companion. So it's a live podcast that I do with the Monday reruns of the show.
Nice.
And, I bring in crew and other people from the episodes, and we kind of do a live commentary track over the re-air of the episode on Mondays at 8 Pacific, 11 Eastern, I guess for you guys in Chicago, 10 p.m., so that's something people can tune into if they want a little Easter egg or they want a little behind the scenes on the show and some of the funny things that happened in the episodes that maybe didn't make it onto television. They can tune into that. We air it on Facebook Live on Mondays, and then it's available on iTunes the next day. So that first episode of Bite Companion will be up today.
Oh, that's very cool. Okay, so before we let you go, definitely give out the website where people can follow you in all the different versions and keep up with all your adventures. Of course, foodnetwork.com is the main site for Ginormous Food, the show. And then also mention those six cities that you're going to be featuring in these first episodes.
Well, our premiere on Friday was in Louisville, and then this Friday upcoming, we have an episode in my hometown in Philadelphia, which I'm very excited about. And then our final four episodes of season one are Baltimore, Richmond, Virginia, Nashville, and Cincinnati is our season finale. So some really great food cities here in season one.
joshdennycomedy.com, I think, is the site that you have, your personal site, and of course foodnetwork.com for all the episodes, reruns, different showings, and the times we enjoy ginormous food with Josh Denny. Josh, thanks so much for what you're doing. I know people are going to love it. They're going to love what it is that you do, and love all those different versions of what it is that you're doing. They're going to love the Food Network show as well. So thanks for being on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Can hardly sleep, blood is in my dreams. I was kidding.